Now let's head to the Bahamas, where we find Rashad Rowe. He's a reporter for the Tribune, the most circulated daily newspaper in the Bahamas. He joins us from Nassau. Rashad, thank you for joining us. It has been nearly 2 weeks since Dorian devastated the Bahamas. At least 70,000 people are now homeless, and a potential tropical cyclone is on its way. How are you preparing?
Right now, we are sort of just listening out to the news to try and determine what exactly we could expect from this. Bahamians don't typically prepare as much as they should until a tropical storm like this progresses to a hurricane. So you don't have a lot of people right now going to the shops or buttoning up windows and the like. It's just listening out at the moment.
So you're in the capital where relief efforts are staged. And how many people do you know of that are currently staying in shelters? How are the operations running right now?
So right now we have about 2,000 people currently staying in shelters. About 3,000 or 4,000 other displaced residents that have come to the capital have gone to stay with family and friends for the time being. The shelters are overcrowded. One of the shelters has about 1,500 people. And up to a couple of days ago, the government was still opening new shelters in order to increase the capacity.
Rashad, in the Bahamas, this has been such a huge natural disaster. It must be hard to actually report on it. Have you lost people? Have you had friends who've lost people? Can you talk to us about what that is like?
I haven't lost friends, but I definitely have a very acute sense of what's going on because I was on Abaco when the storm struck. I had been sent there to cover the storm. And I did expect a destructive storm that would be very damaging for low-lying areas, that would be very damaging for buildings that were not built to code. What we didn't expect was an unprecedented storm of this nature that would destroy so many of the areas that have traditionally held up in the hurricanes that Abaco has faced. I, for instance, stayed at the top hotel on Abaco, the Abaco Beach Resort, which is where the insurance executives, the news media crews, top government officials all stayed. And before the first half of the hurricane had even ended, our room was already compromised. And we already transitioned from thinking about the story to thinking about our own well-being. So it's had an impact on me in that sense, for sure. And it continues to have an impact because those images, they stick with you. You know, some people have described it as it's as if the island was lifted up and then dropped down on its head.
The conversations that you're having with survivors 2 weeks later, what are they like?
Very difficult. I spoke to a survivor at a shelter, a 50-year-old man who did maintenance work for electrical companies. And he told me whenever he hears a bam or a loud noise, he gets intimidated. I spoke to a man who told me four of his friends died in the storm. I spoke to a woman who tried to convince me that she lost as many as 30 friends in the storm. And she began listing all of their names. It remains incredibly difficult for them. I think they're dealing with it the best way that they can. Most of them look wary. And when you go to the shelter, there's a certain quietness to it. And you can tell people are still processing everything that's happened.
As somebody who knows the Bahamas really well, this is your home. How is the way that you're reporting very different from the way that you're seeing outside news agencies reporting on the fallout from Dorian?
Right now, I would say we're beginning to transition into a focus on how this is going to impact certain government systems and functions, which I don't think is the focus of a lot of the international media. For instance, this storm has resulted in 10,000 children being displaced. Those children would have begun school on Monday, but now they are just beginning the process of trying to be placed into a new school on a new island. public schools here in the Bahamas, especially New Providence, they are overcrowded. So we're faced with a situation where lots of people are going to have to be in the same classes of upwards of 40 people, for instance. That's the kind of thing that might not be as relevant to an international media.
Talking about today, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is heading to the Bahamas to express his deep solidarity with the people there. He talks often about climate change. I'm just wondering if in the Bahamas your government is saying that this hurricane that came through, that Dorian, that is most definitely, the power of it is most definitely connected to climate change. Are you talking about it in that way?
Not yet, because it's been such a devastating hurricane, so there are more immediate concerns. But the government has, for much of the last decade, expressed its concerns about climate change. I believe, by some estimations, the Bahamas is the country that could be most affected by climate change because it's such a low-lying area. We experience hurricanes almost every other year. And I think those conversations are going to continue and progress as we take care of some of the more immediate needs.
Rashad Rowell, a reporter for the Bahamian newspaper, The Tribune. Rashad, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.